Well, good morning. If you would open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 15, where our lesson will be taken from this morning. Matthew chapter 15. Before we begin, let's bow before our Lord in prayer. Our Father, how thankful we are to have one more day, one more opportunity from your gracious hand to be able to meet together, to open and read and study your word. And we trust to hear a message from thee, a message of our Lord Jesus Christ, his glory, his sufficiency. And Father, I pray you would enable us this morning to worship thee. Let the name of our Savior be exalted and magnified. Father, take your word and apply it to the hearts of your people to save and give life and give faith, to comfort and edify and instruct the hearts of your people. Father, we're so thankful for your mercy and your grace. You've been so abundantly merciful to this congregation. And Father, we're awed at the abundance of your mercy and compassion to us. And Father, we pray that you'd not leave us alone, but you continue to be merciful, continue to be gracious, continue to call out your people and comfort your sheep through the preaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what we pray for ourselves, Father, this spirit of worship, we pray for your people everywhere who are meeting together today to worship thee. Father, bless. We pray a special blessing on our brother Eric as he preaches in Danville this morning. We pray you'd glorify your name there. Give he and Abby traveling mercies back home to us. Father, for those who are sick and sorrowing and hurting in deep waters, Father, we pray you'd comfort them, that you'd comfort your people with your presence, that you'd heal, and that you would deliver. All these things we ask in that name which is above every name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, our lesson begins, I've titled our lesson, More Loaves and Fishes. Our text begins in verse 32, Matthew 15. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. I'll not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. Now our Lord's been healing this multitude that came to him for 3 straight days, without stop for 3 days. You think of that. Think of the power of that. He healed people for 3 straight days. In 3 days, they didn't bring to him one person he couldn't heal. And think of the compassion of that. For 3 straight days, he didn't turn one sick person away. He didn't turn one person in need away. He healed them. Our Lord has the power and the compassion to spiritually do for folks what he did physically for these people. He has the power and the compassion to spiritually heal every sinner that comes to him who seeks mercy and forgiveness. Now read on. Here's his compassion for them. Verse 33. And his disciples say unto him, when should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they say, 7 and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and fishes and gave thanks and brake them and gave to his disciples. And the disciples to the multitude, and they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men, beside women and children. And he sent away the multitude and took ship and came into the coast of Magdala. Now here the Lord performed his most public miracle again. That's why I entitled this More Loaves and Fishes. More. The Lord is always giving his people more. More mercy. More grace. More of his presence. More comfort for their hearts. More of his leadership. He's always giving his people more. You know, the first time the Lord performed this miracle, there were 5,000 men, not counting women and children. This time, there's 4,000. This is a very public miracle. The Lord took just a small bit of food. He blessed it. And as he broke it, he created food. As he broke it, he gave to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude. And everybody there had as much to eat as they wanted. If you had a little appetite, you had a little bit, enough to satisfy your appetite. If you had a big appetite, you had a lot, enough to satisfy your big appetite. And nobody asked the Lord to do this. Nobody came to him and said, "We're hungry." I love the power of our Lord in creating this food and feeding the multitude. And I love his compassion in doing it. He said, "I have compassion." Soon they're going to be just so hungry they can't even go on. He had compassion on them and fed them. And you might wonder the same thing I wondered. Why would the Lord find it necessary to do this same miracle again to another multitude? Wasn't the first one enough? Everybody saw his power. Everybody saw his compassion. Why would the Lord find it necessary to perform this very same miracle a second time? I believe I see four lessons that the Lord's teaching us here as he does this again. More loaves, more fishes, more mercy, more grace. The first lesson is this. Christ is enough. He's all that we need. Now the Lord, he constantly loves his people. He's loved them with an everlasting, eternal, unending love, and he always has compassion on his people. That's why he feeds his people. He comforts his people. But he does it the same way every time. Every time the Lord saves his people, one of his sheep, every time he feeds them, every time he comforts them, every time he instructs them, every time he gives them more, he does it the very same way every time. It's through the preaching of Christ. Just like he fed this multitude the same way. That's how he comforts and feeds his people. It's always through the preaching of Christ. Now the picture here is the same as the first time. The Lord just keeps repeating it. He fed the multitude with just a few loaves and a few fishes. The loaves and fish, they represent the gospel being preached. They represent Christ, the bread of life. He's all it takes to fill us. He's all it takes to feed us and sustain us. The disciples distributing the food that the Lord gave them, that represents God's preachers. They preach Christ. They take what the Lord's given them and preach it, that message to the people. They just take what the Lord gives and gives it to his people. And the power of the miracle, the power of salvation, the blessing in the word preached, that's of the Lord. The Lord just powerfully and wonderfully, in a way we cannot understand, took those loaves and took those fishes and broke them and created enough for everybody and then have seven baskets full left over. They ended up with more than they started with. This is the Lord's power. Well, the Lord does the same thing for his people spiritually in a way that we cannot completely understand how powerfully and wonderfully he takes his word that's been preached and blesses it to the hearts of his people. Makes it just what every person needs. The same word, the same message. Makes it fit the need of everybody who's there. The Lord feeds, he instructs, he comforts, he heals his people's spiritual deadness and diseases the same way every time. It's always by the preaching of Christ. It's through the same message preached over and over and over again. Blessed by the same power of God. And that message is always enough. It's enough for every needy sinner. Everybody there had as much as they wanted. There was plenty, plenty for everybody who was hungry, but none of it was wasted. And here's the picture. You just come and sit at the feet of Christ, and he'll feed you. He'll feed you himself. And what you'll find is this. He's all you need. He's all you need. All right, the first lesson is Christ is enough. The second lesson is this, the compassion of the Savior. Let's read verse 32 again. And Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, "I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way." Now, isn't the Lord so compassionate on these people? Many of them, if not most of them, were not following him for the right reasons. But the Lord had compassion on them anyway. He had compassion on their immediate physical need, their physical suffering. He healed the sick that they brought to them. And he had compassion on what they were getting ready to go through too. Maybe they didn't realize that they're all that hungry. And if they start walking, they're not going to have the strength to get there. They're going to faint in the way before they get to a place where they can get some food. They're going to be suffering that. And they probably don't even know it yet. And the Lord had compassion on that suffering to prevent them from suffering that because of his compassion. Now you can hardly read the four Gospels and go through them without just seeing this as plain as day. We have a high priest who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Almighty God became flesh. He became a real human being, flesh and bones, just like us. And he had human emotions. He felt sorrow and joy and anger. He felt those human emotions. And he felt bodily needs. He felt thirst. And he sat down in the well one day and told that woman, "Give me a drink of water." He felt thirst. He felt hunger. He felt just bone tiredness. Oh, he's so tired. He felt those things because he's a real human being. So that in everything his people go through, everything, the Savior can have compassion on them. He has compassion on them because he knows what it's like. He knows what it feels like. And when you're suffering, you just remember this. Our Savior knows what that feels like. He suffered first. He suffered the very same thing, and he has compassion. He has compassion on his people. He has compassion on their immediate need. The Lord has what you're going through. The Lord has, he knows, and he has compassion on that. He has compassion on what his people are getting ready to go through. There's something coming around the bend. We don't know. We don't see. We don't know what's coming, but he does. And he has compassion on what we're getting ready to go through. And he gives grace and he gives strength. He prepares us for the trial we don't even know is coming because he has compassion. And the Lord's compassion for sinners. Oh, that's such good news. That's such good news. His compassion. This week, as I was studying for this, I read this. And one of the commentaries said, of all the emotions our Lord Jesus felt, he felt joy. He felt sorrow. He felt zeal. He felt anger and thankfulness. Of all the emotions that the Savior felt, the four Gospels use the word compassion to describe his emotions more than any other. Compassion. Now, I don't know that that's true, and it took me too long to go through all four Gospels and verify that, but I assume it's true based upon the source I was reading. But here's what I do know for sure. God's compassion for sinners is good news. Jeremiah, Lamentations 3, verse 22 says this. The weeping prophet, he has all these reasons to weep and lament. But listen to what he says. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed because his compassions fail not. His compassion will never fail. Five times in the Psalms, David used the word compassion to describe our Lord. And every single time, all five of those times, when David talks about the Lord's compassion, you know what he said? The Lord's full of compassion. The infinite God is full of compassion for sinners. And that just thrills my heart. That just thrills. He has compassion. The Lord has compassion on his people, both body and soul. He has compassion, and he saves the souls of his people. And he heals their bodies. In compassion for his people. How often have we just, the Lord's comforted and healed, and I know he doesn't do it every time, but every time it happens in his compassion. It was his compassion for his people that moved him to suffer being made sin for them, to suffer the humiliation of being made sin, to suffer the agony of being separated from his Father, to suffer the physical agony that he suffered in his sacrifice, and to die for the sins of his people. You know why he would not come down from the cross? You know why he would not avoid going to Jerusalem? His compassion. It's the only way his people could be saved. He had compassion on them. And I like this. Our Lord, our Savior, knows exactly what his people are going through. And he knows how long they've been going through it. He kept track. It's been 3 days. And they haven't had anything to eat. And I have compassion on them. I'm going to feed them. The Lord has compassion on what his people are going through. He knows. He knows. He knows how long it's been. We think it seems like it's going on forever. He knows. He knows. The one who the infinite God who's full of compassion knows. Now that just comforts my heart. And everything we go through, he knows. And our Lord never allows his people to suffer unnecessarily. Never. One of the reasons that the Lord does allow his people to suffer, there's many reasons unknown to us, but one of the reasons that the Lord allows his people to suffer is to teach us to be like him, to teach us to be compassionate, to teach us to be compassionate when other people are suffering something, suffering the same thing that we've suffered, not just to feel sorry for them, but to reach out to them and help them, to let them know. Look at the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This is what the apostle tells us here. Verse 3, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now, when we have suffered some trial, we've endured it, the Lord brought us through it, He comforted us in it, and then we know someone else who's going through the very same thing that we went through before. When they're suffering, we can go to them and we can tell them, I understand. I understand. And we can tell them how the Lord comforted us. We can tell them things that were helpful to us. And once we've suffered the same thing somebody else is suffering now, I tell you what, we can cry with them like we couldn't have cried with them unless we'd suffered it too, unless we really know what they're going through. Once we've suffered this very same thing, we see someone else suffering. Now we can sympathize with them like we couldn't have sympathized with them before. Maybe if Job's friends had a little taste of suffering, they'd have been better friends. You reckon? Instead of coming and being judgmental on him, they come and sympathize with him. Oh. And I'll tell you the other thing. Once we've suffered something, we see someone else suffer. The Lord's brought us through, we see them suffering. I tell you what, we can pray for them. We can pray for them like we would not have prayed for them unless we suffered it first. The Lord sends these things our way to teach us to be like him. Be more compassionate. Be more tenderhearted with people. That's what our Savior is. All right, here's the third thing. The Lord is compassionate in using the means of grace. Now, there are some things that I know. God the Father purposed the salvation of his people. He purposed that in his grace for them, in his electing love for them, not because they deserve it, but because God's gracious. God the Son came in the flesh and he purchased the salvation of his people with his own precious blood, in his grace, his compassion for his people, not because they deserve it, because he's compassionate on the undeserving, because he's gracious on the undeserving. And God the Holy Spirit comes and he applies the salvation that the Father purposed, that the Son purchased for all of his people. He applies it to the hearts of his people. Not because they're any better than anybody else. Not because they're smarter. Not because they deserve it. But because God's gracious. That's why. And the means of grace, the means by which God applies the salvation of his salvation to the hearts of his people, the way that God lets his people know, this is what I've done for you, it's the preaching of Christ. It's the preaching of the gospel. Now, we should remember this. Let's never get so full of ourselves we forget this. Almighty God doesn't need you and me. He does not need us, not in any way. But he does see fit to use his people to spread the gospel to his people. He could make the rock shout it. He could make creation shout it, but he doesn't. He's been pleased to spread his gospel by his people doing it. The Lord does see fit to allow his people to serve him in his kingdom. The Lord here in this particular instance, he didn't need the disciples to distribute the food to the multitude. He could have just given it to him himself. He's miraculously creating it. He could have just put it all in their laps. But he didn't do that. He didn't choose to do it that way. He chose to give it to his disciples and the disciples to give it to the people. And that's the gospel. That's the preaching of the gospel. The Lord could speak directly to his people. He could call us and speak to us audibly from heaven like he did Abraham. He could, couldn't he? But that's not what he's been pleased to do. God's been pleased to use preachers, sinful men, to tell other sinners about the Savior. God's been pleased to do it that way. The Lord could send an angel. He could. He could send Gabriel down here to talk to us just like he did Mary. He could do that. But that's not what he does. God sends a sinful man. He calls him. He saves him. He calls him to be a preacher. And he sends his preacher with a message that fits the exact need of his people. And what an honor. Isn't it an honor? What an honor. There's no higher honor in this world than to be able to tell folks about Christ. There's just no higher honor. There's no higher honor to serve the Lord in any way. Not just the preacher, but all of us. There's no higher honor in this world than serving the Savior, by serving his people. I'll use this example. I don't think Sean will mind. I called, if he does, he'll forgive me. I called Sean one day and asked him if he'd become our song leader, start leading us singing. And I thought he might be a little nervous about it. I thought, you know, maybe I have to talk him into it a little bit. I asked him, he said, sure, be glad to do it. We all ought to have that attitude. What an honor to be able to serve the Lord. What an honor to be able to give to support the gospel. Now again, the Lord does not need us. The Lord does not need you and me. He doesn't need us to supply the need of his church on earth. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need us to do that. The cattle on 1,000 hills belong to him. Everything belongs to him. He could just choose to give to his people if he wanted to, but that's not how he does it. He does it by us giving, by his people giving, to supply the needs of the church, to spread the gospel. The Lord's been pleased to do it that way. The Savior gave us the ultimate example in giving, didn't he? God gave the unspeakable gift. He gave himself to be sacrificed, to put away the sins of his people. Now, what do I have I'm not going to give? Not one thing. What an honor to be able to worship the Lord by coming and giving an offering. That's what happened here. Our Lord, he didn't need the disciples to give him what little bit of loaves and fishes that they had. He didn't need that to feed this multitude, did he? What they had to give wasn't enough anyway, was it? Wasn't enough to feed anybody. Probably wasn't enough to feed the 12 of them, the 13 of them, counting the Savior. That wasn't enough to feed them. But they gave what they had willingly. They put it into the Savior's hand. That wasn't enough to feed anybody. But in the Savior's hand, it was enough. Isn't that something? You just give what the Lord enables you to give. Whether it's large or whether it's small, you give it. And the Lord will bless it. It's not enough. What we give in any way, if it's in an offering, if it's in using our time and our talents to help out around here, it's not enough. But in the Lord's hand, it'll be enough. He'll make it a blessing to his people. All right, here's the fourth thing. The Lord is compassionate in giving faith to his people. Look back here in our text, verse 33. And his disciples saying to him, when should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? Now, I first read this. I thought, boy, here's another example, and I can identify with it, of showing such weak faith. Had the disciples already forgotten the Lord's most public miracle that just happened a few days ago? Had they forgotten that already? And if they had, it's like this is what I first thought, they'd forgotten it. And yet the Lord was so patient with them, wasn't he? He was compassionate on them. He was compassionate on their weakness. And he was patient with them. And so one more time, he showed them his glory so that they would believe on him. And certainly, that's the way the Lord's going to have to deal with us, isn't it? Unfortunately, in his flesh, he shows such patience with us. He shows patience and teaches us the same lesson over and over and over again. How often have you thought, I'm never going to forget that lesson. I'm never going to forget that. I'm never going to not trust the Lord again. He always provides. He's always gracious. He always comforts. I'm never going to forget that again. And the slightest thing happens and we forget. And the Lord teaches us again. He does that because we're so weak in faith. And we forget. And the Lord has compassion on the weakness of His people. And teaches us over and over and over again. But I tell you, the more I looked at this, the more I don't think that's what's going on here. You know, there were most of this crowd were unbelievers. They didn't believe the Lord. They were just following Him to get another free lunch. They were following Him to get more loaves and more fishes. That's what the Lord told them. He said, I know why you, later on, He said, I know why you're following me. You're following me for the loaves and fishes. You're following me for this miracle for free food. Well, these unbelievers, they didn't know the Lord. They didn't trust Him. They didn't love Him. They didn't forget. I don't think the disciples forgot that either. And here's another reason. I don't think they forgot this miracle, this power to feed a multitude. It kind of shows you this man has the power to feed a nation. They were still, even after the Lord's resurrection, they're still looking for the Lord to set up an earthly kingdom. People are looking for a man to set up an earthly kingdom are not going to forget this miracle. I don't think they forgot it. This is what I think they're saying. They're expressing their faith in the Lord. How are we ever going to have enough food, enough bread to feed this multitude? It's impossible for us to come up with it. Lord, they're expressing their inability. We can't do it. But Lord, You can. See, this is faith. They're expressing their inability and the Lord's ability. They're saying, Lord, we can't feed these people. We don't know. How are we going to feed them? We don't know. But You do. We can't do it, but You can. I'm just pretty sure that's what they're saying here. And it makes sense, doesn't it? But either way, no matter what they meant by it, the Lord was gracious. He was compassionate. He was compassionate to give them faith in Him. He was compassionate to make it grow, make that faith grow by showing them more and more and more of His power again and again and again. And whatever the disciples meant, that's not the real issue. This is the lesson I hope that we can take from this. You and I cannot serve the Lord with our natural abilities. We can't do it. We cannot serve the Lord in our fullness and our sufficiency. The only way you and I can ever serve the Lord is in our inability, in our insufficiency. If we go trying to serve the Lord in our power, the power of the flesh, the intellect, in our sufficiency, we're going to be trusting ourselves. We're going to be wanting some glory for it, you know. We can only serve the Lord in our inability by relying completely on the Lord. That's why I said we can only serve the Lord in our insufficiency, in our inability. Because only in our inability, in our insufficiency, will we rely completely on the Lord. Now, we're to serve the Lord with all we got. I mean, with everything we got, we're to serve the Lord. And we're to do it all the while knowing we can't do anything of ourselves. What I have to give is just completely insufficient. But yet this is also true. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So what is it that the Lord's put to your hand to do today? And you think, I can't do that. Do it. Whatever it is God's put to your hand to do today, do it. Do it with all you got. He'll make you able. We can do it through Christ who strengthens us. And in their inability, by faith, confessing their inability, you know what they saw? The Lord's power. And they saw again His compassion on those who need Him. All right. I hope that'll be a blessing to you.